The spiritual war as God intended. This will be our fourth message today. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Just to remind you where we have been, this is all about, look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. This battle, this war, this real literal opposition that we all face as believers, this is a result, again, seriously, it's a result of Satan's hatred of anything and everything that is for God. What does that mean? The enemy of God, the enemy of you, Christian, is a defeated foe, praise God. On the cross and in the resurrection, ultimately, Satan is defeated, waiting for final judgment in hell for all eternity. But until Christ comes again in ultimate judgment, the forces of evil, they fight with skill and determination and organization to destroy and derail that which God loves. Look at verse 12 as we go further. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And the answer to this is profound. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Resist and stand firm are the two key thoughts in this section. Try not to miss that. Military words emphasizing intensity of battle, holding a position at all costs under extreme duress. Verse 14 through 17, look at it. We have seven pieces of armor. The Bible will detail seven pieces of armor the believer must put on in the battle with the spiritual forces of wickedness. In other words, this is God's strategy in the epic spiritual war. Your strategy is the armor of God. It's not to rebuke the devil. It's not to bind the demons. It's not to have Christian exorcisms. It's not to get involved in all that ridiculous stuff that is frightening and ridiculous at the same time. The strategy is simple. It is clear. We covered verse 14a last week. Look at verse 14 with me. We cover the first part of verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Look at that with me in your Bible. And I just want to remind us that phrase in verse 14, look at it with me, having girded your loins. What you want to take with you from last Sunday's message is the language of readiness and anticipation. The picture of preparation, planning, commitment for a decisive act. And so there's no hindrance of movement is the principle. It's the illustration of making your garment tight enough, your belt tight enough around your outer garment so that it would not impede a movement. It's the intimation of urgency and readiness. To gird up your loins is to expect attack and to be ready to fight. And the first component of the armor of God, look at it with me in verse 14, it is the belt of truth. We talked about this in great detail last Lord's Day, the importance of the belt of truth. What does that mean? To really know the truth, to understand the truth, to believe the truth, to live and apply the truth that we have been given, in contrast to the unimaginable amount of error and false teaching and half-truths that are literally everywhere. And again, we mentioned last week, try not to miss this as we introduce our passage today. Satan's attack will always start with moving people subtly away from the truth in a very subtle way. How? By assaulting the character of God and assaulting the Word of God. It's a brilliant strategy, to be honest. It's a supernaturally inspired, brilliant strategy. You have all lived through this. If you are honest, you have witnessed this. Moving people subtly away from the character of God and the Word of God. It's a brilliant strategy. This has been a part of Satan's battle plan since the garden. Did God really say? If one can discredit the messenger is discredited. If one can discredit the message is discredited. And so in addition, Satan will bring confusion related to what God said and the very character of God himself. That was a very important introduction to the armor of God last week, covering the belt of truth. I want to go forward today. Look at verse 14b, please. I want to go forward and talk to you about the second component of verse 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stop right there. Just take that much. This is practical. This is powerful. This is relevant. This is effective. If you get this and you apply this and the Holy Spirit moves you toward verse 14b, I promise you this piece of the believer's armor will aid you. It will give you a great defense against the enemy. If we ignore or miss this or pass over this, or dare we say, disobey this principle of the armor, of the belt of righteousness, this will have devastating, potentially life-changing consequences for you personally as a Christian. That is absolutely true. If you were in the ministry and you could see the destruction of lives, it always comes back to this second principle of the believer's armor every single time. You have witnessed this yourself at some point. And Paul's drawing back to Isaiah chapter 59 here, talking about Messiah's readiness for conflict and battle. We're going to develop this second half of verse 14, just this one big thought. And my thesis today, I want to answer for you the question, what does it mean then to put on the breastplate of righteousness? If you've ever watched any of those old movies depicting the Roman world or the Roman army or Roman soldiers at the time of Christ, think with me about that picture you have in your mind. The breastplate looked like this sleeveless vest, if you will, an outer vest that covered the whole midsection of the body, the internal vital organs from the collarbone all the way down to the stomach area. You could probably picture it. And it had that insignia of the Roman eagle. And in the early days, it was made of very heavy leather, and they would sew patches of animal hooves, very strong, I beg your pardon, animal hooves or pieces of metal were sewn onto this leather vest, this garment overlapping protection from the neck down to the midsection. And of course, as this evolved, the breastplates were then later made of larger pieces of metal that would fit tightly around the chest area to protect the organs. But think with me, much of the fighting was at close quarters, and they would they would use swords and small swords and stabbing and wounds and to the chest area and the organs without surgery and medicine and penicillin for infections. I mean, you get a stab wound in the chest, basically you're dead at that time. It would be fatal. And so this is profoundly important, this picture, the soldier's armor, the breastplate. Now, let's transition to the spiritual application the rest of our time. Satan desires to attack you, Christian. First of all, we have to start there. And I haven't really talked a lot about this. I haven't tried to be overly dramatic about this. Some of you, as believers, have yet to experience one of these organized attacks with the specific goal of destroying your life, your marriage, your ministry, your family, your career. You will experience this at some point if you continue on in the Christian life. We have to start with this principle. Satan desires to attack you, Christian, in your vital organs, to give you a mortal wound in your heart, the seat of the mind and the will, in your inner intestines, the seat of the emotions, the feelings. How does it happen? Well, it goes right back to where we started in our introduction. False messages, confusing messages to your mind and your will, half-truths, the language of culture, which is in opposition to the truth. Satan desires to bring these confusing false messages filled with half-truths so as to confuse your emotions and your thinking and your feelings. It is extraordinary how many people, professing believers, try to practice their Christianity, number one, without the armor of God. That is astounding to me. And number two, divorced from their mind, their thinking. And many today are unaware of the attacks that go on for the high ground of your mind, the high ground of your thinking, and how many professing Christians do not understand how the enemy of God tries to use and confuse your feelings, your emotions, to draw you away from God. False information, lack of biblical information, lack of the truth, lack of discernment leads to a defenseless front related to your emotions, your heart, your feelings. You can't trust your emotions, you can't trust your feelings, you can't trust your heart, for that matter, in the absence of Holy Spirit truth. Your emotions, your feelings are fallen, susceptible to deception, absolutely have the potential of wrongly interpreting circumstances, decisions, events, people. And so wrong thoughts lead to wrong emotions, lead to wrong feelings. This is a great strategy of the enemy of God. What is the antidote? It's powerful. Look at verse 14b, please. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean, to put on the breastplate of righteousness? I want to help you for the rest of our time understand this. In your salvation, beloved Christian, and that we do well learning these Reformation principles. These are great principles. In your salvation, Christian, God imputes to you the perfect righteousness of Christ. We become the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's the great doctrine of imputation / substitution. Christ takes all of your sin upon Himself on the cross. He gives you His perfect, holy righteousness in justifying, saving faith, proven in the resurrection. He was delivered up for your sins and raised for your justification. And every single Christian has in their possession the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ to their account. We are robed in the righteousness of Christ positionally. We are holy in God's eyes because of Christ. And it is this imputed righteousness from God that forms the basis of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, which is practical, day to day, moment by moment, obedient living. For every single Christian who has been imputed with the righteousness of Christ at salvation, for the rest of our Christian life, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is holy, practical living that resists and stands firm the schemes, the methods of the devil. I think, I just feel like this subject, this second piece of the armor of God, is probably the most important piece, and it's the piece that's most often neglected, and it's the piece that, if neglected, leaves you susceptible to a mortal wound in the Christian life. In the ministry, we don't often talk about crisis counseling, and at least I try not to mention the things that are overly dramatic related to things that I've seen in the lives of people, in my own life, in the lives of people I care about. You have an opportunity in the ministry to do a lot of crisis counseling, and for in a group this size, some of us we've been in that crisis situation of life. And it wasn't because of some robber that broke in our house. It wasn't because of some evil, tyrannical leader or government that broke our doors down and dragged us into some concentration camp. It wasn't because of some person who conned us out of our life savings. For many of us, the worst things that have ever happened to us and the consequences of life are the result of disobedience against what we know to be true. And that's where the breastplate of righteousness comes in. I am confident this morning the most overlooked, misunderstood, neglected part of our defense against the enemy is the breastplate of practical, righteous, holy, obedient, sanctified living. Think with me. People whose lives are destroyed as professing Christians, and if you don't know anyone whose life has been destroyed, their marriage, their career, their family, their finances, if you don't know anyone like that, I promise you we're not making this up. This is real. You say, yeah, that's an interesting topic. How does that happen? How does someone who professes Christ, they've been born again, they've been baptized, they've been involved in ministry, you've heard them pray, I've seen them live, they seem to have genuine fruit in their life. How do they go from that to having their life destroyed, literally? How does that happen? Somewhere along the road of their pilgrim's progress, somewhere along the road of real living, they neglected this, they missed this, they put this aside, they did not apply this. For a season, they dismissed this, and they took the breastplate of righteousness off their body, exposing themselves. Before we go further, professing Christians who don't apply practical righteousness in their lives are in grave danger of being utterly, totally, completely defeated by the enemy. This is our subject. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, if you have Christian friends, if you've done any Christian counseling in your family or in your Christian circle, you're tracking with me here. You've wept with those who have lost things that are most important to them because of some compromised neglect of the breastplate of righteousness. What does it mean as we close? I just want to be really clear about this without being long-winded. What does this mean as we come to conclusion? Beloved, the lack of applying progressive sanctification will rear its ugly head in the life of a genuine Christian. It will rear its ugly head in your life personally if you neglect your part of progressive sanctification, if you're a genuine believer. There are no ifs, ands, or buts, or debates. And it doesn't matter if you want to talk of whatever subject you talk about. Sometimes it happens in marriage, sometimes in substance abuse or alcoholism, sometimes it happens in being enslaved to a habit of life that is just utterly, abjectly sinful. You can't break that habit. Sometimes it leads to a real life crime against the law. All of this will lead to devastating consequences. Lack of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, neglect of real practical holiness, leads to an open chest, vital organs, and the enemy of God can now attack you with his devastating weapons of wrong thinking, wrong feelings, wrong emotions, sinful behavior, which leads to the consequences of sin. And so understanding the putting on of the breastplate of righteousness is the prerequisite understanding in your life of progressive sanctification. Turn back in your Bible just a page there to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 with me. To understand the second piece of God's armor, the breastplate of righteousness, you have to have a prerequisite understanding of progressive sanctification. And let's remind ourselves, Paul, in just a couple of verses, gives a treatise on this. Beginning in verse 17, this is all about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. But for the sake of time, look at verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, your past life, you lay aside the old self, old thoughts, old habits, behaviors, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, verse 24, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Look at verse 27. The purpose, beloved, of progressive sanctification. Teach this to your precious children. Teach this to the people you minister to. The purpose of all of this is not to have some outward righteousness that makes you appear something before men to pat you on the back. It is verse 27. Progressive sanctification is so that you do not give the devil an opportunity. This is the principle of the breastplate of righteousness. To put on the breastplate of righteousness, we must understand the putting off of the old sinful self and putting on of the new self in Christ. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the will of God is your sanctification, your practical holiness. Listen to how Peter described it. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, the imputed righteousness of Christ is given freely to believers as a gift by grace, so that you can now put on the practical garment of righteousness every day, obedient living through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look back with me, or forward I should say, just a page or two to Philippians 3. There's a wonderful, we'll close right here. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 9. There's a wonderful explanation of this, so that you see this from the Bible. This is really important. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And the point of this is that for many people, they think the imputed righteousness of Christ at salvation is the armor of God. But the armor of God is the applying of that imputed righteousness through practical, obedient living. Paul does a masterful job of explaining this. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. May be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. This is the theme of Christianity, Philippians 3:9. This is the theme of Protestant Reformed, Reformation, Biblical, Apostolic Christianity. Righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. You can't earn it. You can't be holy enough to get it. You can't achieve it. You can't work for it. You can't play music for it. You can't whip yourself for it. You can't say no to this or that or the other thing to get it. It's a gift from God on the basis of faith. Praise God. It's the theme of the book of Romans. Righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. Praise God. But that leads to verse 12, Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is Christ-likeness. It is being conformed to the very image of Christ. If none of that makes sense, look at Philippians 2, verse 12. What is the breastplate of righteousness? So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's so powerful. Imputed righteousness, beloved Christian, leads you to the application of practical, holy, obedient living through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to, this is so clear, this is a wonderful thought I found during the week, MacArthur in his commentary on Ephesians. To put on the breastplate of righteousness is to live in daily, moment by moment, obedience to our Heavenly Father. This part of God's armor is holy living, for which God supplies the standard and the power, but for which we must supply the willingness. God puts on our imputed righteousness. We must put on our practical righteousness. No one in the church has had that gift of clarity since Charles Spurgeon. That is the gift of clarity. Praise God. God puts on your imputed righteousness, but we must now put on this practical righteousness. And you don't have to reach to make the point in conclusion. The reason so many struggle today in the spiritual war, people you know, people that you care about, people right here in this room, they're allowing the methods, the schemes of Satan to take advantage of them because they're neglecting the vital piece of armor that protects the vital organs of our faith. For so many, they believe the armor of God is limited to Christ's imputed righteousness, and they stop there, and they do not apply the breastplate of practical righteousness, which is the greatest powerful protection against Satan's methods, his schemes. In other words, practical holiness is synonymous with resisting the devil and having him flee from you. Peter captured this. I urge you as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:11. The Apostle Paul captured this in Romans 13. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And so the battle this morning for the genuine Christian always wages war on the high ground of this practical living. Are we becoming more conformed to the image of Christ? Is there a decreasing frequency of sin? Or does one willingly expose themselves to Satan's methods, his schemes, by dabbling in practical rebellion against God? This is and will always be the battle that Christians need to enter with the armor of God. And we need to apply this breastplate of righteousness with practical Holy Spirit-inspired obedient living. This is our great protection. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray for your precious ones that are here. Pray that they would grasp this. Pray that we would hear you speak to us about the truth and just make the truth unmistakably clear, supernaturally clear, and that we would move from our imputed righteousness to the breastplate of practical righteousness, holiness, which literally causes the devil to flee from us, for he cannot stand holy, righteous, obedient, Holy Spirit inspired living. Pray for your precious ones. Protect them, dear God. I pray for the ones who perhaps do not have on this morning the breastplate of righteousness. I pray for the ones that will listen over the technology, that you would bear great fruit through this. And as pastor and people alike, dear God, we would realize the urgency of this. We know that every day that goes by is a day that is darker related to the schemes and the methods of Satan. Help us. I plead, intercede for your people. Move them toward this practical, holy, sanctified, obedient living, dear God, knowing again, this is our great defense against the enemy of God. And we do trust you, dear God. We do trust you in this. And we pray for protection. Even as we desire this, we pray that you would give us the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.